Over the last six weeks of Easter, we've heard stories of how the risen Christ has appeared to his followers. He walked with his disciples on the road to Emmaus. He showed his disciples his wounds, and he broke bread with them. Today we hear John's gospel recount Jesus' prayer to the Father in the final hours of his life. Jesus' clock was ticking. It's a moment where the limitations of human chronological time, we see this intersect in the gospel with God's time. In this passage in John 17, Jesus prays that all of God's children, including you and me, would know eternal life. And this is eternal life, Jesus says, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I wonder, too, how you receive these words of Jesus this morning about eternal life. I wonder how they've been interpreted to you in the past, or how you've interpreted them yourself. So much of our collective imagination about eternal life is sort of like a mansion in heaven where we can finally retire. In this collective imagination, heaven tends to be a postponed reality of the gift of Jesus' resurrection, and it sometimes is presented as a reward for individual faith, or of saying the right words about God or to God. Now, if you are a Silicon Valley tech billionaire, maybe it makes sense to want to live forever in the lifestyle that you have. But for a great majority of everyone else in our country and our world, the biggest determiners of life expectancy are zip code and skin color. So we have an imperative to dig deeper. In John's gospel, the Easter message is both about the future, about what happens after we die, and also offers us a promise that we can know here and now while we are still keeping time, the only way that we know how to keep time. The whole New Testament paints a picture of salvation as something that happens both in the future and in present bodily events. So in the Gospels, when people encounter Jesus, they really got to know him when they were healed from their ailments. It's when they interacted with Jesus, they were saved. That word saved. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, for example, each of these gospels recounts how a man named Jairus begs Jesus. He says, "Come, save my daughter," as the bleeding woman also looks to Jesus, knowing that if her fingertips can just graze that hem of his garment, if her fingertips can just touch that fabric, then she will be healed, and she is saved. These are all moments where people get to know Jesus intimately, and in knowing Jesus, they experience salvation. The point of John 17, of that passage that we heard this morning, where Jesus prays to God the Father, it's not necessarily that the writer of the Gospel of John was recording Jesus's prayer verbatim, but instead intending to show us that nature of the relationship between Jesus and God the Father. Jesus says that eternal life is knowing God intimately and deeply, God in Jesus and Jesus in God. Guys, God wants to be in a relationship with us and to work through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' life and death and resurrection and ascension has restored us to an intimacy with God. Notice that John does not write that eternal life is simply a reward for faith. Faith itself, in this instance, is not a virtue. For John, knowing God means remaining close to God. This intimacy of knowing God and Jesus is about a quality of life that involves our whole selves, our bodies, and our minds, and our souls. We each help to bring eternal life into the present by reflecting God's love to people. So our Easter mission is to stay in relationship with God and each other reflecting God's love into the world like mirrors of his grace, bringing salvation into the present. Through our baptism, we're each called to acts of resistance. And we can think of an act of resistance as caring for things that the world tells us not to care about, or tending to people who the world tells us not to tend to. And God calls us into a life of true creativity. And by true creativity, I mean any action that involves healing, feeding, teaching, creating, or making peace, or doing justice. Acts of resistance and acts of true creativity show people God's love. The mission of the church now exists. We are all existing within this limitation of a ticking clock, with all respect to the CEOs in Silicon Valley. But the Easter promise is that while we are all creating and resisting here and now, we're doing it in anticipation of the time when God will renew all things. So as we live out our baptisms, St. Paul's, let's be shaped by that Easter hope. Let's continue to reflect God's grace, and let's root our hope in the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, hoping for God's renewal of all things, when God will finally overcome decay and death forever. Thanks be to God.